We've, as you know, been going through different exchanges that took place at Calvary. Going back again to Isaiah chapter 53, your Bible should probably just fall open that place now, because we've been here so often. But it's important that we learn that it's in God's Word, and not just something that we come up on our own. Isaiah 53. Now I got it up here on the screen for those that don't want to use Bibles, but you should use your Bible. I know you all got cell phones now and iPads and all these different things. You can take it out and look at the Bible, stuff like that. But, you know, you don't understand where it's at until you got it in a book somewhere, right? You can see where it's, you know, it's in God's Word. Because once it's on an iPad or a phone or something like that, and I use my phone all the time for reading the Bible and things like this, but it's not so easy to find it, you know, on there. I know you can type in a word and search for it and things like this, but it's not easy to locate it and say, well, this is where it's at in God's Word. Isaiah's right there, and, you know, Matthew's over there and all these different things. So you need to know God's Word, okay? So that's just a hint for you to bring your Bibles and read it in the Scriptures itself. Anyway, Isaiah chapter 53, and remember we talked about, and just a recap really quick, we talked about Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, the structure of Isaiah is like the structure of the Scriptures themselves, and 39 books, or 39 chapters refer to, or correspond to the 39 books of the Old Testament. The last 27 chapters of Isaiah correspond to the 27 books of the New Testament, and we narrowed it down that Isaiah 53 is the middle chapter, and we narrowed it down, and we came up with these verses here, the middle verses in that chapter. And but we're going to begin at verse 3 and go down to 6. But we've been talking about, as I said, the great exchange. And today we're going to look at another exchange. Isaiah 53, verses 3 down to 6. Now I'm reading from the New King James, so maybe a little different than up there. I think that's King James I got up there. But anyway, Isaiah 53, verse 3. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with griefs. Now the word sorrows there is, the word is translated in other places as pains. Griefs is referred to as, or translated in other places as sicknesses or diseases. So he was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs. Now again, this word could be also translated sicknesses. Surely he has borne our sicknesses and carried our pain. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Now, there's a few things I'd like for us to look at in those verses there. And we've covered this a little while ago, so I'm not going to take a whole lot of time at it. But I just want to refer to a few Hebrew words that are mentioned here. The word in verse 4 there, translated grief or griefs, is choli, C-H-O-L-I-Y. It means malady, disease, and sickness. It's used 24 times in the Scripture. You look it up in commentaries and concordances. That is used 24 times in Scripture, and out of those 24 times, 4 times is translated as grief, but 20 times is referred to as sickness and disease. So this word is easily translated sicknesses and diseases. So he's saying here, surely he has borne our sicknesses. And then the word sorrows, in verse 4 again, is makab, M-A-K-O-B. It means anguish, affliction, and pains. So we could say he's borne our sicknesses and our pains. Then the word born there, we covered these a little while ago, so I'm going down through them a bit fast here. The word born there is nasa, N-A-S-A-H. It means to carry away, to take away, or to receive something. So this is what Jesus did with our sicknesses and our pains. He carried them away, he received them, and he took them away from us. That's what the price was paid for. So this is what Isaiah was prophesying here. And you got to understand, this was 700 years before it took place. Isaiah was prophesying that this would happen. And then he goes on, and the word carried, because born and carried are there, The word carried is sabal, S-A-B-A-L. It means to bear a burden or to carry a load. So, and the same words are used in what he did with our sins. Now, none of us here got a problem understanding that Jesus took our sins, that he bore our sins. We all believe that. We accept that. We don't argue about it. We don't try to reason out. We just accept it by faith that, yes, Jesus bore our sins. Now, but the same words that are talking about what he did to our sins are talking about the very same thing that he did to our sicknesses. He bore them. He carried them away. He took them away from us. So this is what this passage is referring to. Now, I was reading something a week, and they were saying in evangelical churches today and in the church age in which we're living, we have no problem believing that Jesus took our sins completely away and we are justified and sit right in his sight. We have no problem with that because we've heard it preached so many times. From the day that you start going to church, in evangelical churches anyway, you've heard that Jesus took your sins, and the minute you give your life to Jesus, all your sins are cleansed. We've got no problems with that. I was reading something the week, sort of stuck with me. They said John Wesley, back when he started seeing the scriptures. Now, he grew up in a non-evangelical church as a young man, and God led him from that. He went out, and today we have the Wesleyan movement and the Methodist movement and everything else that came from his ministry. But the thing is, John Wesley, he said, the thing that he battled with more than anything in this world is how to get right with God, because it wasn't preached very strong in those days. How to get right with God. And when he started to understand the scriptures and start to see that, listen, once you confess your sin, God completely washes you away, takes all your sin away from you. When he started to realize that and start to preach that, people said he was a heretic, people said he was crazy, he was, going overboard with things, and he's going to the extreme because he saw the truth of what Jesus did to our sins. Now, people today, when we start seeing the truth of what Jesus did to our, because we understand the sins, that's no problem. But when we start to understand that Jesus did the same thing to our sicknesses as he did to our sins, people say, oh, that's heretic. That's heresy. You're crazy to think that way. We're supposed to be sick. We got to die sometime. Yes, we could die. We don't have to die sick, but we can die. I mean, when time comes to die, we should be able to just close our eyes and go to sleep. But anyway, that's something else to know. But you need to understand, this is 700 years before Jesus paid the price. Isaiah prophesied that Jesus would bear our sicknesses and carry our diseases. Now, and as I said, we've covered this so many times that we're not going to go down through it a whole lot. Now, I had a machine up here for clicking the thing? I should have looked up there. Oh, here we go. No, hit it wrong way. There we go. Okay, he was by his stripes, or with his stripes, we are healed. Now, this was 700 years. Now, here's something that is interesting to understand. When God talks about something that's already been accomplished from the foundation of the world, in God's eyes, I mean, we understand in time has got to take place, but from God's eyes, remember we talked about last week, God lives outside of time. So in God's eyes, it was already accomplished. Jesus is a lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world, the Bible says. Now, notice what it is here. This was 700 years before it happened here in our timeline. 700 years before it happened, he said, with his stripes, we are healed. Every time God refers to redemption, he always refers to it in the past tense. It's already been accomplished. Okay? With his stripes, we are healed. Now, over in Matthew chapter 8, and because a lot of people, even today, they argue and say, well, he's talking about here spiritual sicknesses. He's talking about our sins and iniquities, and no doubt Jesus paid for that as well. But there's a double cure in the atonement. Okay, there's healing, and there's also forgiveness of sins. Now, let's look at this here. Matthew chapter 8, verse 16 and 17, talking about Jesus. It says, when the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast the spirits out with his word. And now notice this, and he healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled. Now notice, first of all, before we go in there, I should have underlined the other line. I thought I had underlined. He healed all that were sick. Now, some people say, well, it might be God's will to heal so-and-so from sickness, but I don't think it's God's will to heal me. Well, if you believe like that, that's exactly what you're going to get. The Bible is very clear. All things are possible to them that believe. Whatever you believe for is what you're going to get. Okay? We need to understand that. These signs shall follow them that believe. If you believe for healing, that sign will follow you. If you believe for sickness, that sign will follow you. You know, some people say, oh, you know, well, you know, father had this problem, mother had this problem, grandfather had this problem, so therefore, you know, I just got to have it. Well, I can guarantee you will have it. I mean, that's just the way it is. Because if you would talk yourself into it, and come tonight, and remember we talk about a video that we're going to show tonight. Come tonight, and you understand the importance of your words and everything else. It's excellent video to look at tonight. But anyway, let's get back to this. Notice what it says here: He healed all that were sick. Some people say, well, yeah, but maybe God is trying to teach me something. You'll never find that anywhere in Scripture where Jesus said, well, now, you just hold on for a few days because my Father is trying to teach you something. That's never ever meant. Religion says that, but God's Word never ever says that. I mean, we got to get this clear in our minds, because what you believe in your heart will come to pass, the Bible says. Okay? What you believe in your heart, you believe in your heart. What you believe in your heart is going to come to pass. So you've got to get this down deep and settle in your heart that God wants to bless you. God wants to prosper you. God wants to heal you. God wants to save your loved ones. And whatever else you're believing God for, once you see it in God's Word, know for sure that this is God's will for you and God's desire, then you can have it. But you've got to be totally convinced in your heart. That's why we preach this over and over and over. This is why you believe in salvation, because you've heard it so many times, preached over and over, until it became a part of you. We need to hear the same thing about salvation, about healing or anything else that Jesus has provided for us. You notice everything that Adam, that came into the world as a result of Adam's sin, Jesus redeemed us from. Okay, God's plan, God's purpose is for us to live in the freedom as Adam and Eve did back in the Garden of Eden. That's what Jesus came to redeem us from, the curse that Adam brought into the world, that Adam loosed into the world, I should say. Now, we just read in Isaiah 53 that by his stripes ye are healed. Jesus, because some people say, well, this is only spiritual sickness. Notice what happens here. Jesus healed all that were sick. Now, is he talking about physical sickness here or spiritual sickness? Sickness. Right? Physical sickness. I mean, whatever. Cancers, heart disease, diabetes, whatever, you know, palsy, leprosy, whatever they had in those days. Jesus was healing people from those diseases, even casting out devils by his word. You understand that? Okay, so this is physical healings that were taking place. Now, notice what he says here. That it might be fulfilled. Jesus was doing physical healings. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. I mean, Jesus bore our sicknesses. Same as he bore our sins, he bore our sicknesses. We need to understand that. We need to believe that. We need to confess that. We need to live by that and understand that it's God's will, God's desire, is that we will walk in health. Okay? And we need to get that down in our spirit. You say, well, you know, and you know, everybody, when you come up with excuses, there's always excuses that are not based on God's word. It's excuses on, oh, no, I knew so-and-so. They are a wonderful Christian. They died with this. They died with that. They died with something else. And they'll always refer back to a person. They'll never refer back to Jesus. Refer back to him. He took it. He bore your sicknesses. He bore the pains. He carried the load. He took it away. I mean, I don't know any other way of saying it. This is what the Word of God says he did with our sins and our sicknesses. He took it away from us. Now, you say, well, how come I still have sickness? How come you still have sin? Same thing. He did the same thing with both of it. He carried it away, but it's up to ourselves what we want to do with it. Now, let's move on. So that was in Matthew. These are verses that you're all familiar with. We covered these so many times, but you need to hear them over and over and over and over again until they get down into your spirit. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 22 and 25. Now, this is about 50 years after Jesus was crucified. Okay, what we read first was 700 years before he was crucified. What we read in Matthew is in the time period when Jesus is on the earth. Now we're going to talk about 50 years after Calvary. Roughly 50 years. 1 Peter 2, 22, 25. Who did no sin? I mean, who's he talking about there? Jesus. He did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. He committed himself to God, the Father. He said, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness. Now notice this. By whose stripes ye were, 50 years ago, for us today is 2,000 years ago, roughly, ye were healed. Then he goes on and quote what Isaiah said. He said, For ye were as sheep going astray. Remember we talked about last week. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one to our own way. The Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. He said, because we were like sheep going astray. But now, he said, you're returned to the shepherd and the bishop of your souls. So by whose stripes you were healed. Now, so we see that Isaiah prophesied about it. Matthew said that this is what Isaiah talked about, the physical healings. This fulfilled what Isaiah spoke about. Peter talked about it later. Peter talked about, he said, your sins were taken care of. And he said, also, your sicknesses were taken care of because by his stripes you were healed. Now, healing is part of the atonement. Okay, we just saw that. Jesus, when he died for our sins, he also died and paid the price for our healing. Now, when... Well, let's read this Isaiah chapter... Psalm 103, verse 1-5. Now, we talked about this verse a nice little bit lately, and I want us to understand something here. I missed a couple of words that I was going to explain there. By his stripes, the word stripes back in Isaiah 53 is karubah, kabura. And it means black and blue marks, the stripes that he wore. And healing is Rapha, Jehovah Rapha, or Jehovah Rapha, we would say. So all these different things. So now, over here in Psalm 103, it again talks about the twofold part of salvation. And actually, there's a whole lot more to this, but we're going to deal with today. Salvation from our sins and healing for our bodies. Now, notice what David said right here. He said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless the Lord, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Now, remember we talked about a while ago all the benefits that come in the package of salvation. Don't forget the benefits. I mean, we can't stress that enough. Don't forget what's included in this package. Don't forget the benefits. And he lists a number of benefits here. He said, who forgives all your iniquities? That's our sins. Okay, we got no problem with that one. But in the same package, he said, who heals all your diseases? That's in the same package. See, if you're going to believe one, you got to believe the other. You understand that? You just can't take what's saying, no, I believe in the salvation part, but this healing part, I don't know if, you know, that's something that the evangelicals got into. That's something that, you know, the people are off on a deep... No, if you believe one, you got to believe other. In other words, you're only... See, you can't be choosy. You can't just pick and choose. You just got to take God's word as it says it. Okay? He heals, or he forgives all your iniquities, and he heals all your diseases. Then he goes on to say, he redeems your life from destruction, crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercy, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. That's a physical thing. I mean, it's not just talking about some mystical thing that happened to the eagles. This happens physically. Their youth is renewed. You understand that? So he's talking about here, salvation is paid for, your healing is there. Your salvation, I should say, is there, and plus your healing is all included in the same package. He said he forgives all your iniquities and heals all your diseases. Matthew chapter 9, verse 5. Some people say, well, you know, I don't believe that it's connected. Jesus believed that it was connected. When Jesus is going to heal the young man, Jesus said, your sins are forgiven you. And the Pharisees and everybody got mad and said, who do you think he is going to forgive sins? Notice what Jesus said. He said, which is easier to say? Your sins are forgiven you, or to say, arise and walk. It's all paid for in the same package. I told you before, St. Clement, I think it was, who was saved under John the Apostle, under his ministry. I mean, the church refers back to this, they call them church fathers, refers to him back as St. Clement. He was saved, as I said, under John's ministry, and he wrote that when, in their understanding of Scripture, that once a person received salvation, they received everything that Jesus provided. They received healing, they received prosperity, they received the blessings of God. Whatever you needed was there included with the forgiveness of your sins. It came as a package deal. It was the atonement. Now, I mean, if he was saved under John's ministry and grew up, he was a disciple of the Apostle John, you think he probably heard John say something about that? You know, I think it's where he learned it from. So we need to understand what God's word is saying. Jesus said, what's easier for me to say? Your sins are forgiven, or take up your bed and walk. It's all the same thing. It's all in the same package. Once you receive it, you receive it. You say, "Now, Pastor, you know, I don't understand it." Well, let's move on to another verse. Over in James chapter 5, and this is a very familiar passage that we're all familiar with. He said, "Is there any sick or any among you afflicted? Let him pray." Okay, if you've got afflictions, pray about it. He said, "If you're merry, if you're happy, joyful about something, let him sing psalms." He tells us what to do with all these different things. I mean, you ever understand God tells us how to live happy? He said, "Whatsoever things are good," there in Philippians 4:8, "whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are good report, and if there's anything worthy of praise, you know, if there's anything lovely," he said, "think about these things." I mean, he tells us how to live a happy life, but we go home and start thinking about all the bills I got to pay, and this I got to do, and this is good. You know, the family's doing this, and this is happening to the children, this is happening to the wife, this is happening to the husband, and, you know, this is going on at work, and we think of all the bad things. He said, "Think about the good things. If you want a peace in your spirit, think about the good things. God will look after all the other things. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All the things will be added." But what we do, we think about the things, and then we forget about God and his kingdom. You understand that? Let's move on. He says, "If there's any afflicted, let him pray. If there's any merry, let him sing psalms. Is there any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord." Notice this, "and the prayer of faith will save the sick." Now get this, we're talking about healing and forgiveness. He said, the prayer of faith will save the sick. That's healing. You understand that? That word is so-so. Salvation. Well, salvation to sick. You know, if you want to stretch it out and read it the way it is here in the Greek. But he said, will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. Now notice this, and if he's committed any sin, they shall be forgiven him. Why? Because it's all the same package. You understand that? It's all paid for in the atonement. Once you receive the atonement, you receive it all. From God's eyes, you've received it all. Now it's up to yourself to live it by faith, to accept it by faith, to reach out and grab that by faith. Now, Jesus went about, this is Matthew 9:35, Jesus went about all their cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. We went through a little while ago, back in, I don't know, August, September, somewhere in there. We talk about the Lord that healeth. And we went through a number of scriptures that when they brought people to Jesus, he healed them all. Somebody said, "My daughter is sick." Jesus said, "I'll come and heal her." Somebody went into Peter's house, and Peter's mother-in-law was there sick with a fever. The Bible says Jesus walked over and healed her. I mean, everywhere you went, Jesus, you never had to question him. You never had to wonder. You know, only one fellow in Scripture said to Jesus, "Are you willing to heal me?" He said, you can heal me if you're willing." Jesus said, "I'm willing." And he healed him. I mean, over and over and over, you'll find that Jesus always wanted to heal people because that was part of, I mean, if let me put it this way. Put yourself in Jesus' place. I know it's hard for us to do sometimes, but put yourself in Jesus' place. You came on the earth. You had the authority and the power and everything else to heal people. Wouldn't you want to heal everyone? If you could do it right now, would you want to heal everyone? I mean, Jesus wanted to heal people. And he constantly reached out to people. You know, and when somebody was sick, Jesus said, "I'll come and heal them." Somebody came to him and they said, my servant is sick. Jesus said, you know, he spoke the word and the man was healed 21 miles down the road. Everywhere you went, Jesus healed him. And it says here, he healed every sickness and every disease among the people. Well, now, Pastor, you know, this has been in the family for a long time. You know, the doctor says there's not much hope. Thank God for doctors. Thank God that, you know, you can do what to do. But listen, we understand, and doctors understand, that there's something that is beyond them. They're just human beings like ourselves. Thank God for what they can do. And sometimes we look at what they can do and say, "Man, that's amazing. It's almost miraculous what they can do this day." But listen, Jesus is in a totally different league than that. You can't come to him with a problem. Says, you know, and Jesus, "Well, now, I haven't come across that before. I'd have to go and study some journals first and try to figure this one out." Now, Jesus is the healer. You understand that? Now, so Jesus healed every sickness and every disease amongst the people. Mark chapter 16. Verse 15, "And he said unto them, Go into all the world and preach the gospel." Now notice this, just changing subject here, changing topics here in the message. First of all, salvation is in the atonement. We talk about it here in Isaiah 53. Then we talk about salvation and healing are both paid for. We talk about it in Psalm 103 and James 5 and places like we just talk about in Matthew 9 where Jesus said, what's easier to say? Your sins are forgiven, you take up your bed and walk. Now, so we talk about salvation. Healing was in the atonement. Healing and forgiveness of sins are tied together in the package. And now we're looking at it's part of the gospel. Healing is part of the gospel message. Okay, there's a lot of people who say that, you know, the gospel is of salvation of forgiveness of your sins, which is true. But there's a package. See, we're only taking one part of the package. There's a full package there, and we need to tap into the other side. Jesus paid just as much for that as he paid for the other. Jesus said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Okay, notice what he says here, preach the gospel. Okay, what's included in the gospel? He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Okay, so preaching, believing, and being baptized as part of the gospel. Okay, and being saved as being part of the gospel. He said, "He that believes not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils." That's part of the gospel. You know, we've gotten too dignified now in church to even mention demon spirits and all these different things, but that's all part of the gospel. That's part of the gospel. These signs shall follow them that believe. Now, if you don't believe it, it won't follow you. You won't see it. But if you believe it, look for it. Expect it. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. Oh, now, Pastor, that's Pentecostal. Stay away from that. That's part of the gospel. Jesus said this just before he went back into heaven. He didn't say do this for 2 months or 2 years or until you fellows die off and it's all over. No, he said go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's still us today. You understand that? So he said they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. Then he went on, they shall take up serpents. Now, I don't believe for a minute he was talking about these people that, you know, get on TV and they get snakes and they fool around with snakes and stuff like this. I don't believe he's talking about that. I believe he's talking about we have authority over the devil. We'll have authority over everything that the devil will try to do. He said, if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. There's protection. Okay, don't go out and put some bleach or something today and try to swallow it and see if you're going to live or die. I tell you now, you're going to die. Okay, but if somebody tries to trick you sometime, when we were over in Bulgaria, we go up to a place up in the mountains called Devon, and there's a lady up there that always serves us food and things like this, in this mission that they got up there. And she was telling her story. She came from a Muslim background, and she gave her heart to the Lord. And her mother-in-law became angry with her. And I mean, you know the clash there between the Muslims and the Christians. And anyway, she tried to kill her. So she invited her to her house. Her mother-in-law invited the daughter-in-law over to her house. Come over, and she made her favorite meal for her. You know? And she thought to herself, there's something fishy with this. There's something going on. And anyway, she went in, and she was, you know, thankful for the meal and that. And she sat down, and she went to eat it. And she felt something in her spirit chicking her. Don't do that. Don't touch it. And she made up some kind of excuse why she couldn't take it. And she said her mother-in-law just almost imposed on her that she would eat. And she said, no, I don't want it. And she took her plate and put it down on the floor. And a dog came along and ate the food. The next morning, the dog was dead. She had poisoned the food trying to kill. See, they drink and they did. I think there's protection. When we put our trust in Jesus, these signs you follow. You say, I don't believe that. Not going to happen for you. It's just simple. But if you believe it, it can happen for you. You understand? These signs shall follow them that believe. That's the clause there. Them that believe. If you don't believe, you're not going to receive it. But if you do believe, you can expect these things to happen. Then he says, they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And there's people out there today, there's good ministers, good Bible teachers that still go around today teaching that healing is not for today. That's passed out with the apostles. Jesus said here, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. These signs shall follow them that believe. Once they become believers and trust, he said, these signs shall follow. And he went on down through, listen to the things that will follow. And the last thing he mentioned, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And the Bible goes on to say, and I should have had verses there, but I never put it. So after the Lord said these things, he went into the Mount of Olives and was ascended back into heaven. This is the last command he gave. We call it the Great Commission of the church. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. You read it again in Matthew chapter 28. But you see, if healing is not part of the gospel, neither is the forgiveness of sins, neither is baptism. You understand that? Because it's all listed there in the same package. It's all part of the gospel message. Back, and we finish up with this. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. With his stripes we are healed. Then we need to understand that. With his stripes. Remember, Jesus did everything for us. There was an exchange that took place there. All my sickness and all my disease was laid upon Jesus, that his healing and deliverance and health could come to me. There's that exchange again. You understand that? This is what he says here. With his stripes, we are healed. Let's stand together. We're going to do our exchange today. Repeat this after me. He was wounded so that I might be healed. He took all my sickness and my disease, that healing and health might be made available to me. Now we're going to lock this in with prayer. Okay? Get your hands ready. Okay? One hand, he took all my sickness and disease. Say it. Took all my sickness and my disease, that I might receive his healing and health. Now say this. Father, I thank you that in the great plan of salvation, you purpose that Jesus would pay for redemption from everything that came into this world as a result of Adam's sin. Your word is clear that sin, sickness, disease, and death all came as a result of Adam's fall. Lord Jesus, I thank you that when you made atonement for my sins, you also included in the payment healing for my body. I thank you for bearing and carrying my sins, my sorrows, my griefs, my pains, my sickness, and my diseases. Father, through the eyes of faith, I see these things today laid upon Jesus. In exchange for the stripes that were laid upon him, I receive your forgiveness. I receive restoration. I receive deliverance. And I receive health and healing. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 See, it's paid for. It's paid for. It belongs to us. But so many times we allow the enemy to say, oh, no, no, well, you know, you got to be sick. You're living in a real world. Listen, Jesus died in the real world. He came in to this world to redeem us from everything that Adam brought in, that came in as a result of Adam's fall.